mission, visit us at mosaicprovo.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning and welcome to Mosaic Church, and thank you, team, for leading us in worship this morning. If you're new here, I know we have many new faces here this morning. We welcome you here. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us for worship here at Mosaic. It is a good time to join us at Mosaic this fall because just a couple of weeks back, after taking a break for the summer, we jump back into our Hebrews sermon series titled The True and Better, where we have been walking through the book of Hebrews together. There's a lot of theological depth within the book of Hebrews, but to briefly summarize as we jump into Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, the unknown author up to this point has been taking us on a journey through the Old Testament, showing us how Jesus is the true and better. The true and better prophet, priest, and king, and the one who has perfectly fulfilled the law of God on our behalf for those of us whose trust and faith and hope is in Him alone. And as we continue on in Hebrews, nearly our entire fall leading up to December is going to be centered around almost a mini-series type deal on faith as we walk through Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, this is where we get to look back on the lives of those who the author mentions within this chapter. And this chapter is often called or referenced to the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it's here that the author, as he has been encouraging this persecuted church to keep the faith, to persevere, to continue to press on in the Christian walk, now points this church back to the Old Testament heroes of the faith. As persecution is ramping up for this church that the author of Hebrews is addressing, he wants to point this church back to those heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. Press on. He's encouraging them to press on, to persevere as they endure this type of persecution. Last week, Pastor Troy preached on the life of Abel as referenced in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And this morning, as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, our focus is primarily going to be on the life of Enoch. And as we take a look at Enoch's life and his walk of faith, we'll spend some time in Genesis chapter 5. And with that being said, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles. I hope that you have one. If you don't, we have some Bibles here available for you. And I believe we also have some Hebrews scripture journals left on the back table. If you don't have one of those, you are welcome to get up and go get one of those. But it has the text of Hebrews on one page, and on the other side of that page, it has a place for notes. Feel free to grab one of those, take it home, mark it up, bring it back, make notes in it. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and verse 6. We are a people of the Word here, so we encourage you to have your Bibles open as we walk through Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and verse 6, and it says this: By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect word this morning. We just rejoice in you. We pray that Christ would be magnified and glorified this morning as we walk through your word together. Lord, as we just sang, it is done, it is finished. We rejoice in the finished work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. Lord, as we approach your word, we pray that you would teach us, encourage us, and convict us this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. The story of Enoch, specifically at the end of his life, it's an interesting one. We don't know a whole lot about Enoch, as he isn't mentioned a whole lot throughout Scripture, but in order for us to have a better understanding of his life and his walk of faith, as the author of Hebrews describes it, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 5. So I want to ask you to open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. We'll read verse 18 through verse 24 here in just a second. But in Genesis chapter 5, the genealogy from Adam, the first man, to Noah is listed out. And here at the end of this genealogy, we see the name of Enoch listed. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 through verse 24 says this: When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God had took him away, or God had taken him away. We're told twice in this passage in Genesis that Enoch had walked faithfully with God. Before we really jump in here, here's just a few facts that will help us to better understand Enoch in the time period that he lived in. So Adam, the first man from Genesis chapter 2, was, tune me in here, Noah's great, 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 great grandfather. That's great times seven. Times seven great grandfather. Now fast forward just a little bit, we see that Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather, and he was also the father of Methuselah, who was the oldest man to have ever lived, and he was 969 years old when he died, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse 27. Now, Noah, if you remember the story from Genesis chapter 6, Noah was the one that God had called to construct an ark to preserve his and his family's life from a flood that would destroy everything as a result of corruption and wickedness. Noah was faithful and obedient to God's call on his life, even though it didn't make sense. He constructed this ark. He built this ark. The flood and the destruction came, and his family was saved through this ark. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it says, Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. Now this isn't a message on Noah. Pastor David is going to preach on Noah next week, but this is important for us in understanding the life of Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, because Enoch lived during this pre-flood time of corruption and wickedness, which was, as a result, God would bring about the flood that would destroy everyone and everything. And the end of Enoch's life, Enoch being taken away by God, was a reflection of his day-to-day life from age 65 years old, from when God had taken him at 365 years old. He walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Something happened in Enoch's life at the age of 65, one of which he became the father of Methuselah. Now, this is fairly young given the day and age. He became the father of Methuselah at the age of 65, and we don't necessarily know the kind of life or lifestyle that Enoch lived prior to Methuselah's birth, but we do know that from age 65 and on, Enoch began walking faithfully with the Lord. That there was a life change. There was this milestone, this moment in his life that everything would change for him. And from that moment on, at age 65, he began walking faithfully with the Lord, being in step with the Lord. And in light of this, in light of Enoch from age 65 on, beginning to walk faithfully with the Lord, I ask you, have you experienced the same kind of lasting life change? Is there a moment in your life or a season of your life that led you to complete trust and faith in Jesus? And from that moment on, your life has never been the same. From that moment on, you begin to experience a life transformation that is undeniable. I'm not asking you if you tried out some religious practice or some belief system that would eventually wear off or leave you empty, but has your life been transformed by the power of the gospel in Jesus? If not, there's hope for you today. You can begin walking with God today by simply trusting that Jesus is better. Know that his sacrifice on the cross is enough. And it's better than trying to measure up. It's a better sacrifice than you or I could ever make. And know today that all it takes to begin walking with God in faith is surrender. Walking by faith or walking faithfully with God simply means that you are in step with Him and that you are in fellowship with Him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through verse 25. Verse 25 is what I especially want to highlight here, but Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22, says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And listen to this. "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." If we are to be living a life of faith, which faith is pleasing to God, we are to be living by the Spirit, God's Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and we are to remain in step with the Holy Spirit. If we claim to be living and walking by faith, yet we are not being inwardly transformed and renewed, being convicted of sin and being led to repentance and living a life dependent upon God's Word and God's wisdom in our lives, we're not truly living a life of faith and remaining in step with the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 4, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." One theologian and pastor has said that Enoch was living a Colossians chapter 3 life centuries before the Apostle Paul wrote Colossians chapter 3. And going back to Genesis chapter 5, we saw that God took Enoch, or that Enoch was no more because of Enoch's close walk with God, which was a walk, a life that was pleasing to God. And as a result, Enoch didn't experience death. He was no more. And this is where we don't know a whole lot about Enoch. This is just really a mind-boggling situation. And something that we see in Scripture is that God just simply took him. He was no more. He didn't experience death. Enoch, from age 65 on, lived this life of faith. He walked with the Lord. He walked with the Lord in this time of great corruption, and then the Lord had simply taken him away. And we move on to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So we move on in this passage. We see that faith is pleasing. And without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please God. Unless we have faith in Christ alone, it is impossible to be commended before God. We see that Enoch was commended before God because of his walk of faith, because of his life of faith and faithfulness to God. Morality, keeping a religious code or covenant or system or law, giving our money to the needy, and overall being a good person, an upstanding person, does not commend us before God. All of these things may please other people. All of these things may commend us in the eyes of others, in the world in which we live. Others around us may commend us for it. They may say, good job, you're a good person, you're doing good things. But only faith pleases God. Only faith pleases God. You cannot please God by your works or by doing your very best. In fact, if you think you can somehow please God by what you do, if you think that you can please God by mustering up enough faith within yourself, you lower the standard of God, and you ultimately have a low view of God if you think you can somehow please Him apart from faith in Christ alone. The only way to please God is to place your faith and your hope in the only one that He is pleased with, and that is Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and through verse 17, this is a reference back to the baptism of Jesus when Jesus came and was baptized. And it says this in verse 16, Matthew chapter 3, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on Him. And a voice from heaven said, this is My Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. God the Father is pleased only with God the Son, Jesus. In Christ and because of Christ, you are righteous and pleasing to God. When you come to faith in Christ, when we come to faith and trust in Christ, you are righteous and pleasing to God, not because of what you have done, but because of what He has accomplished on your behalf on the cross. When you make a profession of faith, in that moment, you are as righteous as Jesus. You are as holy as Jesus. Still sinful? Yes. Will you still face temptation and sin this side of heaven? Yes. But at that moment, when you profess faith in Jesus, when your faith is in Him and in Him alone, you are pleasing to God, not because of your works, but because of His grace and because of His goodness. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. To all who muster up enough faith, to all who go to church enough, to all who work enough, No. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Not all who try hard enough or have done enough good, but to all who believe. This is a perfect, unearned righteousness that is pleasing to God. In Philippians chapter 3, this is a passage that you might be familiar with, but in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul lists out his impressive Jewish resume, his impressive Jewish accomplishments, all that he has done according to the law. He says this in Philippians 3, verse 7 through verse 9. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. What the Apostle Paul does right before saying this is he lists out all of his accomplishments according to the law. Basically, his good track record. I've done it all right. I've kept the law. I've held the law in high esteem. But all of these things were I count as loss for the sake of knowing Christ my Lord. This righteousness, from receiving this righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. God cannot be pleased apart from the righteousness that comes from God through faith. If you want to live a life of faith, and if you want to live a life of pleasing God, if you want to be pleasing to God, it begins with faith and trust in Jesus, who covers you, who clothes you in His righteousness when you come to Him by faith. It's really very simple. It's a simple, unearned righteousness by faith and trust in Jesus. It is by grace alone that you are saved and declared righteous. But how could that be? All of us, even if you've been a believer for quite some time, even if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, I'm sure you, like myself, we often get this mindset of, I have to do more, or I need to do this in order to be pleasing to God, or I need to serve the Lord more in this way if I'm ever going to please the Lord. And all these things are good. Serving the Lord is good. But we often get this mindset of this works-based salvation, this works-based pleasing of the Lord. I'd be encouraged this morning that if your faith and trust is in Jesus alone, you can rest. You can rest. Because you are pleasing to Him, not based on what you have done or what you do or will do, but simply your faith in Him alone is enough. It's by grace that you're saved and declared righteous. God wasn't pleased with Enoch. Going back to Enoch and the life and walk of faith that he lived, God wasn't pleased with Enoch because Enoch had somehow done his part. God was pleased with Enoch because Enoch's faith was in God. It was in God Himself. His faith was in God, and he walked faithfully with God, honoring God in and with his life because Enoch knew that God was faithful. Even in this time period of great corruption, when there was very, very few who sought after the Lord, very few who actually walked with the Lord, Enoch's faith was in God and it pleased God. Not because Enoch mustered up enough faith to walk with the Lord, but Enoch's faith was in God, the only faithful one. The final part of verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11 says this: because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. A true walk of faith begins with a true belief in the true God. I'll say that again. A true walk of faith begins with a true belief in the one true God. It's one thing to say that you believe in God. I hear people all the time say that they believe in God or that they believe in some higher power that's higher than them. But true faith that saves begins by believing in the God of Genesis chapter 1. Believing in the God that created the heavens and the earth and that rules over them. True faith that saves, true faith that can only save, begins by believing that God has created us for the purpose of being in fellowship with Him, bringing Him glory. And apart from Him, apart from being in fellowship with God, there is no purpose and there is no fulfillment in life. And finally, faith that saves and is pleasing to God is faith in His Son, Jesus, the eternal God made flesh. Faith that saves begins by believing in the God of Genesis chapter 1, the one who created it all. And finally, faith that truly saves is believing in His one and only Son, the eternal God made flesh, the God of John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made." Jesus, the one eternal God, which says about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through verse 17, says this about the Son: Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In Christ, all things are held together. When you feel like your life is falling apart, when you feel like your world is crashing in on you, remember, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He, Jesus, the eternal God, exists. Faith in Him, the one true God who has been God from all of eternity, faith in Him alone is pleasing. This one true God, even in our faithlessness and our lack of belief in Him, could have cast us aside. But because of His great love, sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross so that we could live a life of walking by faith. It's only by Him, it's only by His sacrifice on the cross that we are even able to live a life and to walk a walk of faith. Being in step with Him, being in step with His Spirit. Enoch had a simple faith. There wasn't a whole lot of complexity to the faith that Enoch had had and his walk of faith in which he had walked. Simply put, it's this. He believed that God was his creator. He believed that God was his sustainer who loved him. And he was rewarded for it. At the end of his life, he was simply no more because God had taken him away. Remember the days that Enoch had lived, a time of hostility, a time of wickedness. Despite this, Enoch believed in God, and he had his heart, he had his mind set on God's kingdom. He was looking ahead to God's kingdom. He knew that he lived in a time of great wickedness, but his mind and his heart was set on heaven, God's kingdom. Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. 300 years. And it can be so difficult for us to walk faithfully with God with our eyes and hearts set on his kingdom, even for 20 minutes at a time. Enoch believed that God existed and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Everything else in his life followed and was centered around this reality. In our days of struggle, great struggle, temptation, anxiety, depression, disappointment, we all face great disappointment. And even in this mess of a 2024 election season, are your eyes and heart set on a greater kingdom, his kingdom? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What about you? Do you believe? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us in Jesus. That despite our sin and our brokenness and our shame, God, you could have easily cast us aside and told us to figure it out. But God, you chose to go to the cross on our behalf to pay for our sin. God, I pray that you would strengthen our faith in you, that you would fix our eyes and our hearts upon you and your kingdom. May we have a heavenly focus, Lord, as we walk with you. May we walk in step with you. Lord, I pray for those that are here today who don't know you, that they haven't confessed faith in Christ and in Christ alone. They haven't professed faith in you. Lord, I pray that this morning would be the morning in which they do so, that you would draw them to yourself by your Spirit. Show them that no amount of work, no amount of mustering up faith is enough, but show them that Christ is enough. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. Thank you.